The Book Nook on WISO is made possible by five local library systems in Southwest Ohio: the Greene County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Midpoint Library System, Clark County Public Library, and the Dayton Public Library.
Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and it's my pleasure to welcome to the program today Fiona Barton. Her novel, The Widow, is just now coming out in the U.S. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're actually talking to Fiona a few weeks before the official U.S. publication date because she is on a special little pre-publicity tour, and they don't send many authors on these, Fiona. Is there some kind of buzz around this book? What's the deal?
Well, there seems to be. I've been soaking up, you know, some incredible enthusiasm from booksellers that I've been meeting on this tour. Certainly in the UK, there's a buzz. It's already published about almost 2 weeks ago, and it's in the bestseller list. It's at number two. So, yeah, there is some buzz. Feels slightly surreal to me, but yeah.
Well, I know that it's drawing comparisons to a book that came out a year ago by another English author who was really pretty much an unknown when her book, The Girl on the Train, was published, Paula Hawkins. We had her on the show in January of 2015, and she seemed slightly overwhelmed by it all. And it must be somewhat daunting for you to be in the position of having them compare you to that book, because I just looked at the New York Times bestsellers last week, and it's still number one here. I mean, that just must be almost nerve-wracking to be compared to that.
Well, it is. I mean, it's a wonderful book. So I'm very flattered that they're drawing any kind of comparison with it. Yes, I mean, it's an absolute phenomenon. It hasn't even gone into paperback yet in the UK because the hardback is still selling in huge numbers.
Same here. The one thing that I would find as a point of comparison between the two books, and this is really the only thing, is that in both books we have a fairly unreliable narrator. What do you think?
Yes, we do. that's absolutely right. Uh-huh. And it's something that I've always enjoyed in books, in literature, the unreliable narrator. I like that disconnect with, you know, what a character is thinking and what is actually happening outside. So I did use that device, yeah.
Fiona Barton joins us. Her novel is The Widow. And the widow, Jean, is our narrator, but we don't have her for the whole story. We also have some other viewpoints. How should we start talking about this? Where do you want to go?
Well, when I started writing the book, it was Jean's voice, the widow's voice, that I heard first. And for a time, I intended to make it all told by Jean, the whole story, in first person. But as I went on, I looked at it again because I wanted other voices in it in order to sort of point up the unreliable narrator part of it. And so I introduced the reporter who arrives at Jean's door at the beginning of the novel, intent on getting an exclusive with her, the exclusive story. And then the detective who's leading the investigation, the hunt for a child who has gone missing. And the mother of the child, Dawn, is also given two or three chapters just to add other perspectives to what Jean's telling the reader.
I have to think, having read The Widow, that if you had stuck to your initial thought and had Jean narrate the entire thing, that as a writer, that would have been very exhausting for you, and for us as readers, it might have been exhausting too, because those are really intense sections when we're in Jean's head.
I agree, and I mean, some people do it brilliantly. The reluctant fundamentalist is a wonderful example of a story told by in the first person in that way. But I agree with you. It was too exhausting and too intense and hard to carry that through, a full-length novel.
Fiona Barton joins us. Her novel is The Widow. You mentioned this reporter. I understand you know a little bit about being a reporter, but I don't think this reporter is you. It's probably an amalgam of all the other reporters that you've run into.
That's exactly right, yes. No, I am not Kate. I've been everywhere that Kate goes. I was a reporter for 30 years or so on national newspapers in the UK. So I know what it's like to knock on a door and ask someone for an interview. I know it's called doorstepping in the UK. I'm not sure what it's called here. I know about, securing exclusive interviews, the chase after to get the scoop. So I had a lot of experience that I could use in the book. But as you say, I've drawn on all sorts of people to create Kate. And I've never done the trick with the bottle of milk either, I hasten to add.
Okay. The title, The Widow, indicates that Jean is a widow. And as the story begins, she is a widow, but we have extensive flashbacks that take us through all these periods when her husband was living, and we get to know him a little bit. But he does also tend to be rather mysterious to everybody, including to Jean.
As it turns out, yes. I mean, I think, I've been married a long time, and you think you know your husband from the man's point of view, your wife. But, of course, nobody is completely knowable, and all marriages have secrets. They may not be important secrets, but, nobody is an open book. So I think that's what Jean discovers as things unfurl. Her husband, Glenn, is accused of a terrible crime, and it's at that point that she starts re-examining everything she knows or thinks she knows.
We had the Scottish writer Denise Mina on the show recently, and she writes crime novels, and she said, I really don't write whodunits. She said, I'm more interested in why they did it, a why done it. And your book, The Widow, strikes me as another why done it.
Yes, I think that's absolutely right. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in characters, in people. So when I set out to write it, I wasn't writing a psychological thriller. I was writing a story. The story came first for me. And then, it was defined as such. I think it fits in the genre, but that wasn't what I set out to do. It wasn't a formula. It was a story that fascinated me and had done for a long time, the idea of what a wife can know.
Fiona Barton joins us. Her new novel is The Widow, and I should point out this is her debut novel. And it's quite a page-turner. The press is all over Jean. They're all over The Widow. They're following her around. They all want an exclusive interview. And finally, this one reporter is able to talk her way into the door. And we think of these reporters as being tabloid people that are looking for sensational stories. But this reporter, she's actually pretty nice, isn't she?
Well, it's interesting you say that because not everybody has the same response. I sat next to a lady at dinner the other evening and she said, she was outrageous what she did. So it's interesting that you say that. For me, I'm with you, obviously. Mm. Kate thinks she's in charge of the situation. But as things, unravel slightly, there's a different perspective put on what she's doing and who is in charge. She is also, like me, interested in people and getting to the bottom of stories. And, she will work hard to do that. And I think you see that and when she's interviewing Dawn, the mother of the child who is missing, you see her as a professional. She is already writing the story in her head, which is what reporters have to do. Mm-hmm. You know, time is of the essence. So I hope you get something of an insight into how reporters work and think.
Well, in this country, at least at the moment, the media and reporters are often painted as being horrible people. If you look at the presidential campaign of our candidate, Donald Trump, he spends a lot of time in his speeches insulting the reporters who are there and acting like they're terrible people. I consider myself to be a journalist, and I think I'm a nice guy.
I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are. Yeah, you're right. It's very easy to kind of, you know, to generalize. As you know, in the UK, there's been a lot of criticism and insulting of journalists over the whole hacking story.
Mm.
I'm sure it's been reported here too. And all of a sudden, reporters are, you know, seen as bad people. And it's a terrible generalization. You know, I've worked, as I say, for 30 years. And when people say, oh, of course, reporters make it all up, you know, it's quite shocking to hear someone say that, because when you think of the fantastic work that journalists have done to expose wrong, to bring, you know, to the public attention, things happening all over the world, you know, they're not bad people. Mm. They're professionals doing a job. And I think, you know, for 99% of them are doing a great job.
Fiona Barton joins us. Her novel is The Widow. During all that time that you were a reporter, you didn't realize that you were doing your research for this novel, did you?
No, I didn't. But what I've got is this, you know, best imaginable cast of characters. All the different people I've interviewed over the years, people I've watched, people I've talked to, people I've listened to, it's all been squirreled away for this day, really, unknowingly.
The key line for me just now is you said, people I've watched. I bet a lot of that was in a courtroom. Tell us about that. You looked at people very closely, and they weren't necessarily the accused that you were watching.
No, exactly. I was working for a Sunday newspaper for quite a while. And so Sunday papers will do backgrounders. They'll look at the background to a trial. And so I had the luxury, really, of not having to sit scribbling down every word, but to sort of look at people and, you know, take it all in. So I did a lot of that. And also, you know, in press conferences, all of those occasions where everybody's focus is on, you know, the person speaking. But it's when you sort of look just to their left or right and see another member of the family, the people on the periphery who are as affected by the story as the person speaking, but do not have a voice. It just struck me that, you know, you wonder what the conversation is going to be like when they get home, when, you know, the cameras are switched off, when there are no reporters present, and it's just the two of you.
Mm. I hate to give away too much about the story, but there are a lot of secrets here, particularly as they involve Glenn, the deceased husband, and his shadowy life. This guy had it made, apparently. He had a good job in a bank, and then he just kind of frittered it all away, and he eventually becomes a delivery driver. And this is where he gets into the position where he becomes a suspect.
That's right. That's right. The changes in his life, when he's, you know, he's doing very well at the bank, but I think he's driven by this need to prove himself. He comes from working class stock. Dad's a taxi driver. And I think that kind of, he was the kind of character who is driven to succeed. And if things don't go his way, that weighs very heavily on him. And that's how I saw Glenn, I mean, obviously I was seeing him through Jean's eyes, and, you know, he becomes very disenchanted with how things are going at the bank. And then something happens which means a major change in their life. So I think he's quite a chippy character. Mm. Chippy in that he thinks he's always aware of what people are thinking about him. And I think that weighs very heavily on him.
In case you've just tuned in, Fiona Barton is my guest today, and her book is The Widow. As we get through the story, our perceptions are bound to shift about Jean. And one thing that really drives her is the fact that she and Glenn have never been able to have a family. This is a very powerful thing for her.
It is. I think her whole ambition as a young girl was to marry and have a family, be a mother. And when that doesn't happen, that obviously affects her intensely. It is a huge thing for her, and she feels it, I mean, viscerally. She absolutely feels it. So, yes, I mean, it's a huge influence on her behavior, on her thoughts, and on the relationship.
You described this novel earlier as a psychological thriller. Everyone likes to pigeonhole books. I know this is also going to get lumped in there with the crime novels. And there is one reason we could include it, I suppose, as a crime novel, because you've got a cop, Bob Sparks. We haven't talked about him. Tell us about Bob Sparks.
Bob Sparks. I'm very fond of Bob Sparks. He's a DI, and he is a very dedicated detective, a bit too dedicated at times, his wife would say. Mm. But he is, again, an amalgam of detectives and police officers that I have worked alongside as a reporter. So I've taken bits from different people that I've met. But he is absolutely determined to find Bella, and it haunts him that he's not finding her quickly enough.
And Bella's mother, Bella is the missing toddler. Bella's mother, her personality shifts and changes throughout the story, too. She becomes quite media savvy.
She does. She learns fast, Dawn, because she's a single mother with a baby from a doomed, I don't know whether we can actually say relationship. I mean, it was, it was a very short relationship with a married man. She's left bringing up this child on her own, young, quite isolated. And when Bella goes missing, she's obviously devastated. But as time goes on, she starts the Find Bella campaign, and through that becomes much more media savvy and manipulates the media too. She's she knows how to get a story in the paper. She knows how to get a good headline. She's a clever girl.
The book is The Widow. Fiona Barton wrote it. On the cover, we have, at least of the U.S. edition, I haven't seen the U.K., a blurred shot. It looks like a woman out in the middle of a foggy woods, and she's just kind of floating the top of her. This is a very interesting picture. I didn't really understand it until I got clear to the end what that depicts. And I just like the illustration. What do you think of it?
I love it. I think it's a very clever cover. It's very different from the UK cover, which has lilies, which are a funeral flower in the UK, and they the slightly overblown lilies, they're sort of going black at the edges, very creepy. But the US cover, I love the fact that the words, the widow, is unraveling slightly. There's sort of webbing on the words, and it has a wonderful feel to it.
Mm-hmm. I understand that you have had a very busy life, a very busy career, and that you finally got the opportunity to sit down and write this book. when you were very far away from England.
That's right. Yes, absolutely. I was in Sri Lanka, just off the island, just off India. I was a volunteer with VSO, Voluntary Services Overseas. My husband and I decided to step away from busy lives and do 2 years volunteering there. And for the first time, I had space and time to write. I've written every day of my professional life as a reporter. You know, I found writing quite easy. I can do it to order. But because it's a very intensive job and I had a family, I have two children, the idea of writing something in my leisure time just didn't occur until I stepped away from journalism. And it was a wonderful opportunity for all sorts of reasons. But that's when, that was in 2009, and I sat down and wrote 10 chapters, the first nine and the final chapter in a week in Colombo.
Wow. How productive you were that week. Whoa.
Yes.
The book is The Widow by Fiona Barton. As we read the story, it reminded me in a way of a book that came out by another former journalist in the UK, a book called Her by Harriet Lane came out last year. I don't know if you've read that, but when we get when we get to the end of the story, mm-hmm. we're shocked, but we're also a little bit uncertain. We're a little bit unclear. It's not all black and white defined for us, and I know you did that for a reason, to make us wonder.
Well, that's right. And, you know, life isn't black and white. So I deliberately, you know, kept things floating slightly. That there was a case, a very nasty murder case in the UK, and it was the Soham killings. I don't know if you remember. It was two little girls who were killed by a caretaker. And when it came to court, nobody knew what had happened. He'd killed them in a bathroom in his home, and nobody knew what had happened. And finally, when it came to court, there was a version given by him, which was that it had happened in a sort of dream, in a sort of dreamlike state. And it really grabbed me, that, because I thought, you know, when you read police crime novels, everything is very cut and dried, black and white. But this really spoke to me of, you know, people not entirely sure of what they've done or what's happened, because, you know, the human mind is a very powerful thing. We can deny things. We can repress things. So I was very taken by that, image.
A number of years ago, we had the author Kate Atkinson on the program for her book, When Will There Be Good News? I understand that this is a particular favorite book and author of yours.
Oh, absolutely. I think she's absolutely brilliant. Yes. I took inspiration from her because her talent is telling stories from different perspectives, mm-hmm. different narrators, and she does it so well. And it is a particular favorite of mine. It is based on a real crime, When Will There Be Good News? And so it had double interest for me. But I thought she did it so well, you know, sort of just twisting the way we see things.
Mm-hmm. Very unique perspectives in that one. She always surprises me, though. Every book that comes out, I say, oh, what's she going to do now? They're all
yes,
so different. Yeah. My guest is Fiona Barton. Her book is The Widow. I heard a rumor that you're working on another book and that it's going to be a book featuring this same reporter from The Widow. Is that true?
It is. It was never my intention to write a series. I was just so thrilled to have written one book. But I was asked if I would write two more. And I thought that I would probably, you know, carry on with Bob Sparks, the detective, you know, the DI. But when it came to it, the story that I had in my head for the second book, it felt right that Kate Waters, the journalist, should be central to it. And in fact, the reaction that I've had from readers and people that I've met at author events has been a lot of interest about Kate, about journalists, about the way they work. And they often end up, you know, they don't ask any questions about Jean at all. It's all about Kate. So I think I've gone the right way with it. And I'm working very hard on it at the moment.
Over your career in journalism, you have seen so many changes, particularly involving technology. There was no internet when you got started, and now we're awash in social media and all these different platforms, and this 24-hour churn of news is just relentless. What are your observations? I understand that you work with journalists and that you really pay attention to the trends. What do you think about what's happening in journalism these days?
Well, it certainly has seen some pretty seismic changes in the last very few years, really. I mean, when I compare now to when I started, you know, I was filing stories from phone boxes, putting 2 pence pieces in. So it couldn't be more different. And it isn't really that long a time. The big difference for me is the deadline has disappeared. The rolling news is forever hungry. So the journalists are having to work very, very hard to keep up with that and to sort things out very fast, to file, you know, in very small stories, snippets, tweet it first, then put it on Facebook, then, you know, and so on and so on. So the skills of a journalist have changed. They need to be very savvy about social media. They say now that everybody's a journalist because there's access to social media for everybody. Everybody can, you know, can start broadcasting, if you like. But actually, it isn't true that everybody's a journalist. Mm. Everybody can have a platform. Everyone can have a voice. But actually, journalism is a professional skill. And, you know, it's not just saying what you think. In fact, it's not that at all. It's analyzing information, it's checking, it's all of those things. So, you know, the people who say, well, there's no need for journalists anymore, I dispute that. I think there will always be need for professional journalists.
Thank you for that clarification. I can picture you in that phone booth sticking in those coins and on the other end someone madly writing down what you're telling them.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. The copy takers, they were legendary.
Those were the days.
They typed very fast and were very rude to the reporters. you'd be filing some, you know, huge piece, and after about 1 minute, they'd say, "Is there much more of this?"
Well,
but that's how it was.
It's really been a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And I wish you the best with the book and with this new career.
Thank you very much.
Our guest has been Fiona Barton. Her novel is The Widow for The Book Nook. I'm Vic McKeonis.